Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage. That's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on Is Your Retirement at Risk when we come back? You know, the income tax and Social Security programs are not compatible with our traditional American values. These two programs encompass the second and the eighth planks to the Communist Manifesto. That's a foreign and alien ideology. Traditional American values are individual responsibility in place of Social Security and tithing in place of the income tax. These foreign and alien ideologies require of us that we violate three of the Ten Commandments and eight statutes of the Old Covenant. We covet our neighbor's property, and we call that income redistribution. We steal from our neighbors with unjust weights and measures called Federal Reserve notes, and we practice idolatry by signing contracts with these foreign and alien gods called government. And we don't get away with these crimes either. We are paying up to 75% of everything that we create and produce in taxes. We live in mortgaged homes that are owned by savings and loan companies. We drive cars owned by GMAC or Ford Motor Finance. The average family of four has an average $70,000 consumer debt. We owe an $8 trillion national debt. We are surety for another $49 trillion of unfunded government obligations, and our financial institutions are leveraged out to more than $200 trillion worldwide in the derivatives markets. And our Social Security retirement system is a chain letter Ponzi scheme, and we live from paycheck to paycheck, and then we're taught to call all of that prosperity. Well, the God of Israel gave us a better way of life than that, and our founding fathers followed that better way. Now, we call it Article 1, Section 10. No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debt. Now, if you'd like to learn more about tax and status and a better way of life than debt and credit debt serfdom, why don't you call and ask for my free 4-hour compact disc package? Now, that's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to the website georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send an email request for that free general law CD package. All right, we've been talking about your retirement. Is it safe? Not only isn't your retirement safe, it's an illusion, it's a mirage. It's nonsense, it's a Ponzi scheme. When you buy a lottery ticket, the chances of your winning in that lottery round is 1 in 83 million. But the good news is everybody has an equal chance. If you can get six numbers in succession, out of the 10 numbers that they're going to call, or the 20 numbers, I guess, that they're going to call out, if you can get six of those numbers. We used to call that the numbers racket. When the mafia did it, it was a crime. Now that government does it, it's a virtue. But the odds are about 83 million to one, and everybody has an equal chance. I don't think that there's anybody out there who believes that all 83 million people can win simultaneously. You see, if 83 million people buy a ticket for $1, and one guy wins $83 million, the numbers work out. No problem there. Yes, that can happen. But boys and girls, when 83 million people buy a lottery ticket, Nobody expects 83 million people are all going to win $83 million now, do we? No, you say, well, that's crazy. That's preposterous. Well, it's just as preposterous to believe that you can pay into Social Security for 40 years and then draw out your benefits forever. It's just as insane for you to believe that you can join up with Lucent Technologies and work for 30 years and then draw out $1 million in benefits. And especially when you believe that everybody in the company can do that. Now let's do some arithmetic here, boys and girls. But before we do the arithmetic, when we broke off last night, I told you about the privateer. I covered the first page of the privateer, and I didn't give you the name and address. Let me do that right now, and then I'm going to show you the numbers on the Ponzi scheme that's called private pension plans. There isn't a snowball's chance in hell that you people can collect on your private pension plans any more than there's a snowball's chance in hell that 83 million people can all win the lottery simultaneously. It's a preposterous piece of crap. And if you believe in it, you've been duped. And I'm going to show you how when we come back. The privateer, the publisher is William A.M. Buckler. And the post office box is 2004. And they're in a place called Noosa Heads, Queensland. That's N-O-O-S-A, Heads, H-E-A-D-S, Queensland, 4567, Australia. It's $180 a year. There's a trial, 5 issues once only. You can buy 5 issues for $25 Australian. Now that's about $5 an issue. Boys and girls, if you could buy this thing for $5 an issue, let me just work that out for you. 26 issues you get a year times 5 is how much? $130. Now they'll only let you do that one time, it says right here in the little box. Why don't you try sending $25 to that address and see if he'll send you 5 issues of The Privateer, and I'll guarantee you, you'll buy it. Well, unless you're brain dead. I mean, there's people like that. If your IQ is below 100 and you're brain dead, maybe you wouldn't want to buy a second subscription. But there isn't anybody that I have seen in the newsletter business that is more basic or who can explain complex concepts in economics better than this guy Buckler can, or his staff. I don't know who's writing his newsletter. He may be the editor and have 15 writers over there that are writing. But he takes the complex and he makes it simple. If you're a housewife, a truck driver, a plumber, a carpenter, if you're just a dummy like me, you can read this and you can understand it. Now, there's a second newsletter. I'm going to cover this one in 4 or 5 articles out of the International Forecaster. Now, this guy, Bob Chapman, is prolific, but he's a little hard to understand. Your IQ has to be a little above 90 if you're going to subscribe to the International Forecaster, so I'm going to give you the name and number for this one, too. The International Forecaster, P.O. Box 510518. In Punta, P-U-N-T-A, Gorda, G-O-R-D-A, Florida. P.O. Box 510-518, Punta, Gorda, Florida, 33951. Now, when you write, you've got to have this whole zip code. He says right here in the newsletter, he says, if you don't have zip plus 4, I ain't getting the letter. So the zip code is 33951-0518. So make sure you got 0518 in there. See, that post office box is 510518. You got to have the post office box zip plus 4 in order for him to get your letter. And the subscription rate here is $130 a year, about the same price as the privateer. Now, for $260 a year, you can get both the privateer and the International Forecaster. I want to recommend both of them to you because Americans, as I've shown you in this series of programs, believe in their pension programs and the pension system. It's no more possible for all the employees at Lucent Technologies to collect on those pensions than it is for 83 million people to buy a lottery ticket and win $83 million. It's a numerical impossibility. Let me show you what happened here. Remember, we started off with a bright young man. I guess he isn't too young anymore. His His age is 59, but it's called Whatever Happened to the Golden Years. Remember? Program number one. And the guy's name is Ed Beltram. B-E-L-T-R-A-M. Ed Beltram. Nice-looking guy. Wife, kids, lives in the suburbs out in Colorado. All-American fella. Worked for Lucent Technologies for 30 years. Probably went to college, got a degree after his name. Well, today he's working for $7.50 an hour to make ends meet, working on a golf course, which isn't bad, and I'm not opposed to people working on golf courses for $7.50 an hour. I'm just telling you, the guy's drawn a pension of $53,000 a year. Do you remember that? All right, now let's do a little arithmetic here. Follow along. Get your pencil out here, boys and girls, and let's figure this out. The guy's 59 years old. There isn't any reason in the world to expect that this guy will not live to be 79 years old and collect this pension of $50,000 a year for the next 20 years. Now just take $50,000 and then multiply that times 20, and that's $1 million. This fellow Beltram expects that he's going to retire from Lucent Technologies, collect his pension for the next 20 years. He's already been collecting it for a period of time. I don't know if it's 5 years, 4 years, 3 years. He's been collecting it. It's a pretty good pension. I suppose most people getting $4,000 a month would be pretty happy. Beltram can't make ends meet on $4,000 a month. He has to have a job that pays $7.50 an hour in addition to that. His expectations are at a level that Lucent Technologies cannot support it. That's the bottom line. Now, there's 25,000 other people in this Lucent Technologies, according to the article here, that are also drawing pensions. They've started their pension program. Now, if you take $1 million and divide that by his 30 years of service... Let's just do that. Divided by 30 years of service, that's $33,333 a year. So whatever Mr. Beltram was earning back 30 years ago, every year Lucent Technologies had to put aside $33,333 in order to fund his pension. And they had to do that with every one of 25,000 other people. Got that? So Lucent Technologies hired 25,000 people, and they had to have $25,000 million to pay the pensions on these people over the next 30 years, or 20 years, whatever the life expectancy of these people are, based upon their 30 years of service. Boys and girls, there isn't any way in hell that anybody can pay that. And General Motors, to give you an illustration, right now today, every time they build an automobile, they have a $1,600 pension bill on every car they make. Now, here's what General Motors' problem is, and here's why they're going bankrupt. You know, we say General Motors is going bankrupt, and you're a truck driver, and you're driving down the road right now. How does that dumb SOB know they're going bankrupt? Okay. Well, I may be a dumb SOB, Bob, but listen to this. General Motors had a 46% market share here 20 years ago. Today, their market share is 26%, and it's headed toward 23%. So, years ago, when they had 300,000 workers a-working, they promised those workers that they were going to pay them X number of dollars in their pension program as time progresses along. And then, as time progressed along, other competitors came in and took their market share. And today, they had to lay off a lot of those workers, and today General Motors is in the process of laying off 30,000 more workers and taking less market share, and so is Ford. So Ford's going bankrupt also. And we estimate that at the rate that they are paying on their bonds and the rate that they're paying in their pension funds and the rate that they're losing their market share, as we crunch the numbers and do the arithmetic, in about 3 years, they're not going to be able to service their debt, Bob. It's just like you. You're working for $50,000 a year, busting your butt. And as the years go by, as inflation goes by, And as you work and work and try, you're finding out that the prices are going up faster than your income, and you can't service your debt. So one of two things has to happen. Either number one, you've got to quit spending so much, or two, you've got to sell more. Either you've got to work harder and make more, or you got to consume less. That's just where the bottom line is. And that's where our friend Mr. Beltran is, and that's where General Motors and Ford, indeed, United Airlines and Delta and American Airlines and every other corporation in America. They're all in the same boat. First of all, it was a mathematical impossibility when you started the program. Social Security was a mathematical impossibility when they started the program. But they went out and sold it anyway. Now, these Ponzi scheme programs work well for 60 years or so. And these pension programs, which are Ponzi schemes, just like Social Security, worked well for 60 years or so. And then finally you get to the point where you've got more people drawing out than you have paying in. Now, I mentioned the guy at Disney, I think, as I recall, he took a $200 million retirement program. Well, yeah, one guy at Disney can take a $200 million retirement program, but can every employee at Disney take a $200 million retirement? I mean, come on, kids, let's wake up. Furthermore, Lucent Technologies or Disney or General Motors or the United States of America cannot fund $1 million retirement for everybody. Now, let me give you a couple of quotations here from the International Forecaster, and let me demonstrate to you what I'm talking about. And this is why I contend that you need to subscribe to one of these newsletters. Now, most of the newsletters, if you'll just go to kitco.com, K-I-T-C-O, kitco.com, I think you're going to find that there's a number of them there that are free, like the Mogambo Guru and Bill Bonner, financialsense.com, Jim Puplava, and a number of others. You know, you can get a lot of this information free of charge, but you never heard a word on the Lehr News Hour telling you about the M3 statistical reports being terminated next March 23rd. The Federal Reserve does not want you to know what the money shenanigans are. Now, inflation is running at about 10% a year. And I know you're sitting there saying to me, well, how in the hell does that fool come out here and tell us that inflation is running 10% a year? I get nasty letters once in a while. When the government says it's 4.3, now who's in a better position to know? Well, when I get a letter like that, I want to concede to you that the government is in a better position to know than I am. I don't deny that. But the government's also in a better position to lie to us. Now, let me tell you, when we get the numbers out of the Federal Reserve, they tell us that they're inflating the money supply by anywhere from 7 to 12% a year. Now, when you get these numbers of money inflation, that tells you what the real inflation rate is. Now, inflation is not the price increase. So when the price of gasoline goes from $2 to $3 a gallon, you say, my God, the inflation rate's 33%. That's not true. That's a price spike of 33%, but that's not inflation. Inflation is the amount of money that's put into circulation. And when the Fed is expanding the money supply by 10%, the inflation rate is 10%. But you won't see that 10% price increase for 2 or 3 years down the line. So 2 or 3 years ago, I said, hey, listen, boys and girls, the inflation rate's 10%. And I knew it was 10% because that's what the Fed was reporting to us. But starting in March of 2006, they're going to stop reporting. And they're going to stop reporting because they don't want you to know and they don't want you to be able to figure it out. That's all there is to that. That's simple enough to figure. Now, if you want to stay abreast of what's going on in the economy and what's going to occur in the future. Now, Ford and General Motors just announced that they're going to lay off 30,000 workers. Okay, that's exactly correct. They told you the truth. They're going to take less market share. General Motors has a $300 billion debt. $300 billion. That's more debt than the United States of America had in 1955. General Motors. Now, of course, we've got more inflated dollars today. That's not adjusted for inflation, but think of the numbers here, $300 billion. Well, General Motors will not be able to service that debt in about 36 months based upon their income and expenses. And their income and expenses are published because it's a public corporation. And you know, you probably need to be an accountant or a CPA to crunch the numbers, and that's where these newsletters come in. It's the Privateer and the International Forecaster, the Money Changer, the Mogambo Guru and Jim Poplava and others who are giving us the report. But you don't get this on the mainstream media. So if you want to be on the cutting edge of what's coming down 2 or 3 years in the future, I'm prepared for the collapse of General Motors. And I'll guarantee you that when General Motors files for bankruptcy, the bond market is going to implode. $300 billion is going to be lost overnight. And when those investors lose that $300 billion, there is going to be pandemonium, boys and girls. Pandemonium. Well, about the same thing that's going to happen when you get laid off. The old adage goes, you know, it's a recession when your neighbor gets laid off. It's a depression when you get laid off. Well, you wait until General Motors and Ford both go upside down. And it's not just General Motors and Ford. It's every corporation in America is going upside down. In fact, the United States of America is going upside down. That doesn't mean, boys and girls, that America is coming to the end of the world and we're all going to die on Monday morning. When the Third Reich collapsed on May the 7th, 1945, the end of the world did not come for Germany or the Germans. A change in government occurred. A very traumatic 5 years of military occupation followed. A gut-wrenching change in ownership of real and personal property occurred over that 5 year period. Today, 50 years later, who in the hell remembers 1945? I mean, you've got to be some old guy to remember 1945. Germans today are living their lives, buying, selling, and trading, just having a good time. And Americans, 50 years from now, will be buying, selling, and trading, and just having a good time. But there's going to be a gut-wrenching change in ownership of your home. A gut-wrenching change in ownership of your automobiles and your income and your expenses, unless you're preparing for it, unless you're getting ready for it. Now, I'm going to go through the same gut-wrenching change that everybody else is, but I didn't retire. I looked at these numbers 10 years ago and I said, there isn't going to be any retirement for little Georgie Gordon. Little Georgie Gordon better be squirreling away some acorns over here, because when this thing turns turtle, If I'm on retirement, let's just take a look here at this guy, Beltran. Think of this for a minute. The guy's getting $4,000 a month, plus he's working for $7.50 an hour. General Motors files for bankruptcy, and our economy goes into hyperinflation at 5,000% a year. What in the hell is this $4,000 going to be worth? 5,000%? Inflation per year. That's what happens in these banana republics like Argentina and Brazil and Bolivia. And don't think that it isn't going to happen in America. It happened here in 1783, kids. Now, fortunately, in the last depression in the 1930s, our government opted for depression or deflation rather than inflation. If I had my druthers, I would choose deflation. Depression. 10 times better for all of us than is going to be this hyperinflation. You wait until this weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth is over. And as I mentioned last time, last program, I said, the teachers' unions and the firemen's unions and the policemen's unions, you're all going to pay the price. In depression, those unions would have made it all right. There's a lot of people that make it pretty well in a depression. But in an inflation like this, everybody's going to take it in the shorts. We're all taking it in the shorts whether we like it or not. All right, now let me give you some heart-wrenching information. Start here. Alan Greenspan is telling us the truth on his way out of office. He said, in the United States, there is a pernicious drift towards fiscal instability, and the adjustment process will be painful. Do you hear that, boys and girls? Your Fed chairman says that the fiscal instability that is rampant today is going to be adjusted, and the process is going to be painful. Sir Alan, along with our elected dolts in Washington and the neocon White House, have buried the United States economy. This is not fiscal and monetary instability. It has been just plain insanity. And Sir Alan said that Congress has to make significant adjustments in reducing benefits for future retirees because the United States has promised benefits that it cannot provide. And he said government demands for investment would squeeze private capital formation and cast an even larger shadow over growth of living standards. And in the end, he warned, the consequences for the U.S. economy of doing nothing could be severe. Now, boys and girls, we are not going to have a growing economy. We are not going to have higher and higher living standards next year, the year after, and the year after that. We are going to have a depression, a decrease in living standards. And so, I take a look at my living standard here and I say to myself, well, how much money do I actually have in today's Federal Reserve Note dollars in order for me to get by, in order to put food on the table, clothes on my back, and a roof over my head? And the answer is 5,000 Federal Reserve Note dollars a year. I've got to have 5,000 Federal Reserve Notes to pay the taxes, to pay the telephone, to pay the electric bill, and to put a tube or a bottle of mustard on the table every once in a while so that I have a little something to put on my hamburger or a little hamburger to put in the beans. 5,000 Fed notes a year. Not how many do I have, but how many can I get by on? It may come to the point where I will have to have the telephone taken out, or I may have to have the electric power turned off. I may not have enough Federal Reserve notes to pay the electricity bill or to pay for the telephone. And I have to make choices. Do I pay the phone bill or do I pay the property tax? Because if I don't pay the property tax, then the county's going to take my property and sell it, and I will be homeless living under a bridge. Last night I was watching the news, and they had a young woman on there making $40,000 a year. She's a single mother, making $40,000 a year, and her I don't know if it's gas or her fuel oil bill, she lives up in New England, I guess it's fuel oil, is expected to go up by $250 this winter. And she's just lamenting on the news, I don't know how I'm going to get by if my heating bill goes up by $250. You know, when I listen to that kind of crap, it makes me want to puke. That poor woman is so far out of touch with reality, she's got her head up the rectal region somewhere up near her navel. Now listen to this. Take $250, boys and girls, plug it into your computer, divide that by 40,000, and it amounts to 0.00625%. $250, boys and girls, out of 40,000 doesn't even come up on the damn radar screen, for crying out loud. Yes, it's an added bill. Yes, I'm going to have to cut back on something else. But the woman isn't going to have to cut back on the telephone or the electric power or something. Come on, boys and girls. I'll bet the woman's got a car. And I bet she's got money for gasoline. She probably smokes cigarettes and she probably drinks Jack Daniel's whiskey. Boys and girls, there are things that are going to have to be cut out of your budget a whole lot sooner than heating oil. In fact, boys and girls, let me tell you something. You don't need any heating oil, any gas at all to survive. None. Zero. I can remember, boys and girls, when I was a little kid. Let me tell you a little story here. Gather around, story time. When I was a kid, 60 years ago, you did not heat the entire house. I don't know of anybody that ever heated the entire house, and I never knew anybody that had central heat. We never heard the word central heat, and air conditioning wasn't even in the dictionary. Boys and girls, there was life on planet Earth before central heat and before air conditioning. Now, what you had was you had a heater in the kitchen or in the living room. And that's where you lived, in the living room and the kitchen. When it was time to go to bed, you put on your long johns, that's your long underwear, and you got ready for bed and you opened the door and went down the hall and you went into your bedroom. And your bedroom might be 0 degrees. And we didn't sleep on sheets, we slept on... It was cotton, but it was some kind of a thingy. I don't know what you call it, but it's not a sheet, but it's not a blanket. It's a very heavy duty sheet, and you climbed into bed, and it was just colder than a witch's tit, and you just snuggled up in there, and pretty soon your body temperature would heat up the surrounding area, the little air. Around you, and you would sleep and you would get warm. You wore a nightcap to hold the heat, your body heat in. Boys and girls, central heat and the concept of heating the entire house came about in the 1950s and 60s. Boys and girls, I can live where I'm at here with no heat whatsoever. I don't need heat at all. I don't need any fuel oil. I don't need any natural gas. Now, I will say this. Life is a whole lot more comfortable. And your standard of living is a lot better when you have a thermostat on the wall and you can reach over and you can flick the little thermostat over to a number like 70, 75, and sit back in your easy chair, watching TV, munching on popcorn. God, it's wonderful. But if you don't have an air conditioner, or if you don't have central heat, and you don't have a thermostat, it is not life-threatening. And this poor woman is just lamenting, I don't know what I'm going to do when my heating bill goes up 0.00625%. I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet. Let me tell you, if that woman can't solve that problem, when this economy goes upside down, she has not got a prayer of survival. Not a prayer. Fortunately, there's not a whole nation full of people like that, I hope. Hang on, I got to give you a quick reminder here of who you're listening to and what this is all about. This is the Law Hour and Editorial Review that you're listening to. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log, schedule, and archives. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not necessarily mean that the authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are going to reciprocate. And most of the authors and publications that we cite on the Law Hour program are political, or they're religious, or economic, or they're sectarian, or they're racial, or they're ethnic. Those people are partisans, and their viewpoint is not necessarily endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. So don't blame them. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, remember the website georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about retirement. Is your retirement at risk? The conclusion is you don't have a retirement. It's gone. Gone. G-O-N. Gone. And whatever happened to the golden years? Well, the Ponzi scheme finally has reached the point where it's breaking down. You see, in the early stages of the Ponzi, you pay off the people who are putting their money in, and you pay them off in spades. For instance, Social Security in 1940, when the very first person drew their very first check, you had 80 people paying in and one person drawing out. 80 to 1. By 1945, you had a few more people drawing out, and the numbers went to 45 people were paying in and one person was drawn out. By 1957, you had 16 people paying in and one person drawing out. Today, you have 3.2 people paying in for everybody drawing out, and in 2020, it'll be 1-to-1. Boys and girls, you may believe in Social Security, but by the year 2020, there will be one person paying in for every person drawing out. And then it will go, two people will be drawing out for every person that's paying in. And then there will be four people drawing out for every person paying in. And I'm here to tell you that at some point in time, you will not have enough physical energy to support four other people, or 8, or 16, or 32 other people. And that's where we're headed. Lucent Technologies could fund a retirement program in the early days of the program. So could General Motors and Ford. But you see, as the market share has declined and the number of people who are retiring is growing, you have fewer people paying in. You have less cars being sold, less profits being made to pay those retirees. And the business of corporations, remember, is profit. It's not paying out pensions. And so the corporations are doing the only thing that they can. They're getting out of the pension business. So if you're on a pension, you better start getting ready to get off your pension, because they ain't going to be there pretty shortly. And if you're looking forward to your pension, get it out of your mind. Alan Greenspan hit the nail on the head. He said, there's a pernicious drift towards fiscal instability, and the adjustment process is going to be painful. George Gordon is going to feel it right here. And when the process comes, I'm prepared to shut off the electricity, shut off the telephone, and shut off the heat. Now, fortunately for me, I heat with wood. And when the price of gasoline goes to $20 a gallon, I'm not going to be buying very many gallons for my motorhome, but I will still have enough money at $20 a gallon to buy 5 gallons of gasoline to put in my chainsaws so that I can cut firewood and keep warm in the wintertime. Now, I'm down here in my office today and the temperature is 60 degrees. If I wanted heat here in my office, I would have gone out and built a fire. And I can heat this thing up to 90 degrees in about 30 minutes. But I have control over my own heat. I'm not dependent upon the Middle Eastern oil faction to send me some heating oil to heat my house. But if I was, then I would be putting on my thermal underwear, which, by the way, as I'm sitting here today making this program, I am sitting here in my thermal underwear. I just came in from outside, and it's freezing outside, and I'm wearing thermal underwear. I am not flipping a switch on my wall over here and consuming expensive propane or heating oil. And the day is going to come, boys and girls, when you're going to have to make that choice. And let me tell you that when that day comes, you can live in Boston, Massachusetts with no heat in your house. None. Zero. Zilch. And when the pilgrims got here in 1620, they didn't have a thermostat. And they didn't have heat. And they didn't all die. Now, heat is very comfortable, and I don't deny it. And I love heat. And most of us have become accustomed to heat. But boys and girls, when an Arctic expedition leaves to go to the North Pole, they don't have any heat. They have to dress for it. Now, if they can survive at the North Pole without a thermostat, without central heat, without a wood-burning stove, without propane, without heating oil, so can you. And Boston isn't near as bad as the North Pole. It's not as comfortable, but it can be done. Life does not stop because you don't have heating oil. But wouldn't it be a lot better if you could prepare for it so that you could have heat? Now, that woman, you know, if I just mentioned to you, if she has to choose between $250 for heat on a $40,000 a year income, $40,000, boys and girls, is the median average. Let me tell you, half the people in America make less than $40,000 a year. Half. Boys and girls, 2 billion people on planet Earth live on $2 a day or less. 2 billion people on this planet live on $2 a day or less. How much is $2 a day? 2 times 365. Assuming they work every day of the year, they make $730 a year and they can make it. Oh, they're not living very well, to be sure. But they're getting by. They were here yesterday, they're here today, and probably they'll be here tomorrow on $2 a day. Now, that's not very much. But it can be done. And we Americans, Canadians, Australians, and New Zealanders are going to have an opportunity to see what a lower standard of living is all about. And it's not very far off. So let's start getting ready for it. J.P. Morgan Chase plans to have nearly one-third of its investment banking back, office and support staff offshore, by the end of 2007. Now, let me repeat that. J.P. Morgan Chase plans to have one-third of its investment banking offshore by the end of 2007. Now, that's 24 months. That means that by 2007, Morgan will have 9,000 good-paying American jobs in India and 9,000 more Americans out of work. Forrester Research has predicted companies will move 3.4 million white-collar, high-paying jobs and $136 billion in wages out of this country by 2015. So let's hear it again for offshoring and outsourcing. You wanted free trade, boys and girls? Well, by golly, we got it. Here comes free trade. You want to compete with the Chinese? Well, by golly, you're going to get it. Now, I mentioned to you the last time about labor unions and about how you got a teacher in a public school that you want to fire. It costs $100,000 to fire a teacher, and you probably can't get the job done. So what you do is you just promote this teacher up into the bureaucracy somewhere and bury him. And by the way, remember that $7,000 a year that you're paying to educate a kid in the United States in the public schools? Well, two-thirds of that goes to administration and bureaucracy, and one-third actually goes to teaching. Now, let's hear it for centralized public education, huh? Now, Americans have developed a culture of no work or as little work as possible and more pay. We want more and more money for less and less work. Now, Mr. Beltram over here, if you can pull this off, I don't begrudge anybody working 30 years and getting a retirement package of $1 million for retirement. If you can do it, by God, get after it. But George Gordon wasn't able to do that. And I'm not that smart, and I didn't go to college, and because I didn't do it, I guess I'm paying the piper. But Mr. Beltran is going to find out, I'm pretty sure, in short order, that neither can Lucent Technologies or General Motors or Ford or Social Security or all the rest of these pension programs going to produce that kind of dream world either. Now, we bought into the program, and we've developed a culture. Americans believe in retirement. Retirement is the reward that you get for life. It is life's objective, retirement. It is the reason for drawing breath. It is the reason for life. Life itself is aimed at retirement. That's the American mindset. That isn't what we got from Moses. It's not what we got from the Ten Commandments, and it's not what we got from God Almighty. He said, by the sweat on your face shall you eat your bread. And we said, hell no, we won't go. We are going to live in air-conditioned office luxury, and we're not going to work. Well, okay. That's possible for some for a while, but then comes the inevitable, as Alan Greenspan put it, he said, the adjustment process is going to be painful. Fiscal instability is coming. J.P. Morgan's going to outsource 9,000 jobs. 3.4 million white-collar, high-paying jobs are going to be exported between now and the year 2015. That's over the next 10 years. And that may be your job that's going to India. You know, those Indians will work for $2 a day, boys and girls. Or $10 a day, or $20 a day. And at Delphi the other day, I got some numbers came across my desk. The Delphi people, that's the employees, are making an average of $27.50 an hour. That's cash. $35 an hour in fringe benefits. They have such things as dental and health care plans, and they have paid legal and a number of other plans. One guy said, the only thing we don't have is paid haircuts. Now, that made all the sense in the world years ago when you were earning your wages and you were paying taxes on your wages. The company could come in and give you these fringe benefits. It's a full deduction for the company, and it's not taxable to you. The fringe benefits at Delphi are higher, cost the company more per hour than do the hourly wages of $27.50 an hour. Now, boys and girls, you got a bunch of Chinese over here and Mexicans that are willing to work for a lot less than that, and you opted for free trade. Remember the North America Free Trade Agreement and GATT? Remember free trade, the program that Congress gave you? You know, I'm not here criticizing the Congress, and I'm not criticizing you for adopting free trade. I'm just telling you, boys and girls, that there was a choice to be made, and we made it. And as my old granny said, you know, you made your bed, sweetheart, now go sleep in it. U.S. Senator Conrad Burns, Republican of Montana, he changed his stance on a 2001 bill after receiving a $5,000 donation from a lobbyist's client who opposed the legislation. Of course, our astute senator cannot remember why he voted against the bill in 2001. We call that selective amnesia. We find it disgusting why a U.S. senator's vote can be purchased for such a paltry sum. It says volumes about our system of government. Burns received $136,500 more than any other lawmaker from Abraham's clients from 2001 to 2005, and we suggest his constituents throw him out of office. All right, Conrad Burns, senator from Montana. Well, there's a guy named Cunningham the other day. Did you see this in the news? He was a representative from California. He was a Vietnam veteran. He was a fighter pilot, ace. I don't know if he was an ace, but he was a number one or ace number one fighter pilot. And then he went into politics, and he went to Washington, and he started living the good life, and they corrupted him. There's an old adage that says that one rotten apple will spoil the whole barrel. A whole barrel of good apples will not reconstitute one rotten apple. So when you take a good man and you send him to Washington, Washington will corrupt him. I wouldn't be a bit surprised, but what this Senator Conrad Burns, when he was back in Montana, when whatever it was he was doing, he was a cattle rancher or he was in the state legislature, was probably an honest man. He was probably a good, honest, upright citizen. And then when he got to Washington, they corrupted him. For $5,000, this guy, you can buy his vote for $5,000. Hell, a crummy electrician could buy that kind of vote. Now, he got $136,000 in addition to that, and this guy Cunningham, he got $2 or $3 million. He was a little brighter. Here's the point. You get 535 of these people in the Congress, and they're, you know, with few exceptions, there's a few guys there that no doubt will not take a bribe, but it's fewer and fewer. The Congress is for sale. So when these corporations come in and say, well, we want legislation like Merck and Pfizer, and says, well, we want legislation so that if the products we sell kill people, you can't sue us. They get it. And there's a number of these kinds of sweetheart deals and neat packages that have been enacted for multinational corporations, like free trade and outsourcing of jobs to India. Now, here's the net result. I don't know if these whiz kids that go to these colleges and universities have figured this out yet. But the only economy in the world, the only nation in the world that's worth its salt are the Anglo-Saxon nations. I say the only country, I should say nations or countries. It's the Western Europeans, Australians, New Zealanders, and the Canadians and the Americans. That's the marketplace. And the Chinese are not fighting to get into the Uruguay market or into the Brazilian market. They want to get into the American market, the Canadian market, into the Euro market. Now, when all of us Europeans and Canadians and Australians, when we Anglo-Saxons destroy our economies by our own college graduates outsourcing our employment and our jobs to the Chinese. Let me ask you, you executives at General Motors who have now moved the Buick operation to China. When America is destroyed, where are you going to sell those Buicks? A couple years ago, the Stanley Company, Stanley Tools, they were up in Connecticut. And they decided to move offshore, and there was an uproar. And they said, well, that's un-American. Why, the Stanley Company moving its operations offshore. Well, why is it such an unpatriotic, un-American thing for Stanley to move offshore when General Motors is moving offshore? When J.P. Morgan Chase is moving 9,000 jobs to India, why isn't J.P. Morgan un-American? Why isn't General Motors un-American for building new assembly plants? And by the way, these 30,000 jobs that are being lost in America, they're building a plant, and I just read this last night, Whirlpool is building a plant down in Mexico, and they're going to sell Whirlpool washers and dryers where? In the American market. Where are they going to make them? They're going to make them in Mexico. So they're going to lay off their workforce in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and they're going to hire the same number of people in Mexico. Excuse me, Whirlpool, are you going to sell those washers and dryers and those refrigerators to Mexicans? Is that what you got in mind? Or did you have in mind we're going to move it to Mexico, produce it for less, and then sell it to the unemployed Americans in Fort Smith, Arkansas? Have we taken leave of our senses in this country? And boys and girls, these are the people that go to your prestigious business schools like the Harvard Business School and the Princeton and the Yale Business Schools, for crying out loud. You're going to pay those Mexicans $2 an hour to make them washing machines down in Mexico, and then you want to sell them here in the United States for $500 to unemployed people in Fort Smith. I mean, come on, boys and girls, surely we're smarter than that. It would be my contention, my God, that even college couldn't dumb a person down to that level. Could it? Or maybe it's when we go to college we get dumbed down to such a degree that we're unable to think any further ahead than that. Remember this newsletter here. I'm just reading you two or three little blurbs out of the International Forecaster. This thing is 32 pages long. Our old friend Joe Granville says, never in the history of the stock markets has he seen his OBV, that's called the on-balance volume, give such an extreme sell signal on the NASDAQ and the Dow. Watch out below. Joe's been the best market technician that I've seen over the past 50 years. We're in an inflationary recession that will last a minimum of at least two more years, and this is already in the pipeline. Significant deterioration also is beginning to show up in corporate profits and less federal tax receipts. If you mix in the extraordinary cost of hurricane rehabilitation and the war costs in Iraq, you will see further deterioration in the federal deficit. It'll take government statistics at least a year to catch up, if then, because of government commitment to bogus numbers. The government's lying to us. Now, if you want to get beyond the lies and find out where the bodies are buried, let me recommend again the International Forecaster, $130 a year. And I don't get paid anything. Bob Chapman doesn't send me anything for doing that. Well, I guess I should take that back. He sends me this International Forecaster, and I don't pay for it. So I guess I get a free subscription to the International Forecaster for recommending it. I guess that's tit for tat. So I want to give you the name and number again. It's P.O. Box 510-518, Punta Gorda, Florida, 33951-0518. Make sure you got that zip plus 4, the International Forecaster. And don't forget the privateer. Now, for you beginners out there in the newsletter business, start with the privateer because it will explain economics to you like going to Economics 101. The Privateer, remember, you can get them online too, theprivateer.com, the-privateer.com, if you want. All right, I'm about out of time. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, of course, with a new topic, and we'll see what we talk about next time. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. And all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.